Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in health science and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. Later in the show, we'll hear about the importance of agricultural research and how funding woes could impact our food productivity. But first, end-of-life decisions can be wrenching for families. Today, 44 states have so-called family consent laws, which can help determine which family members should make healthcare decisions. Missouri is one of six states with no such law, putting families and doctors in a sort of legal limbo. But as KBIA's Jacob Fenston reports, a bill headed for the Missouri legislature could change that.
Charlie Schertz knows how hard it can be to make a healthcare decision for another human.
Many years ago, my mother was at work. She had a job. She helped raise seven kids, and she passed out at work.
She had lung cancer, and fluid was building up in her lungs and around her heart. It fell to Schertz and his siblings to decide whether to go ahead with a procedure that could extend her life. They said yes.
But when she come off the ventilator, she said, if I had my choice, I would have never been on that. Don't you guys ever do that to me again.
Now, technically, a decision like that is in a sort of gray area legally, at least in Missouri.
Most people think that, their spouse, their children, their parent can deal with their health care issues, give consent.
State Representative Bill White, a Republican from Joplin.
But there's no legal basis in Missouri for anyone other than the patient themselves giving consent to authorize any medical care.
That is, unless the patient has previously created an advance directive, but only about one-third of Americans has done so. Earlier this year, White introduced a bill to address the issue by establishing a default order of family members who could step in to make healthcare decisions for those patients without an advance directive. But not everyone thinks that's a great idea.
The fact is that we live in a world of dysfunctional families.
Daniel Baker is a lawyer with the Missouri Catholic Conference, which opposes White's bill.
I would reckon a good number of people would look at their immediate family members and start to say, maybe he or she does not have my best interest at heart.
But White says under his bill, disagreeing family members could take their case to court, just as they can now under current law. But what about family members who aren't even listed, who are not legally recognized?
In reviewing the list, what was blatantly missing was the domestic partner or the significant other's same-sex partners.
Joanne Schleicher is a social worker at a hospital in St. Louis. She says she's seen many a case where a same-sex partner was excluded by family members.
If the patient were awake and able to say, they would want their partners to make those decisions for them.
White says the problem is defining these relationships that aren't recognized by the state of Missouri.
Is your significant other for a week count, or does it have to be 2 years or 5 years?
White plans to reintroduce a new version of the bill at the beginning of the next legislative session in January. Jacob Fenston, KBIA News.
I'm Kyle Diaz, and you're listening down to the microscope. As world population grows and natural resources decline, maintaining a productive, reliable food system presents a serious challenge. In recent years, many of the productivity gains in the agricultural world have been the direct result of new research and knowledge. But in the United States, the outlook for government funding of that research is hazy, at best. Harvest Public Media's Eric Durbin has this story.
It sounds simple enough. A crop is planted and a pesticide is applied. But what you don't see is the science behind it. Despite escalating global demand for U.S. food products, federal government funding for agriculture research has shrunk to an average of $2.5 billion a year, a 20% decline since the mid-1990s. Support from state governments also has declined. That concerns U.S. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary Kathy Wotecki.
If you kept that number flat and project out to mid-century, we're not going to see that increase in agricultural productivity that we're going to need in order to feed the U.S. population and also to keep up our agricultural exports, which have been really important for farmers and for our farm economy.
Bob Young, chief economist with the American Farm Bureau, says productivity gains of a couple percent a year are vital to keeping up with population growth.
It is a race, and you need to be kind of at that rate. If you don't have the research to provide you with that kind of rate of gain, then the bottom line answer is that you just talk about that much tighter supplies and, you know, prices have to move accordingly.
Much of the research happens at the country's land-grant universities, a system that's celebrating 150 years in 2012. But private companies also significantly contribute to ag research, though from a different end of the spectrum. David Fischoff is the Vice President for Technology Strategy and Development at Monsanto, a global ag and biotech company.
The private companies, including Monsanto, do, of course, work on areas where we can develop products and make a reasonable profit.
Private industry isn't willing to fund some research, mainly efforts that are further from the final product, says Gary Pierzynski. He's the interim director at Kansas State University Research and Extension. He says university researchers often focus on more fundamental concerns. I'm standing in a southwest Kansas field, soon to be planted to winter wheat. Here I can see two of the public ag research successes that Pierzynski points out. First of all, I'm not covered in dirt, even though this area is in the middle of an extreme drought. Controlling soil erosion, like that seen during the 1930s Dust Bowl, has been a top priority on the public side. Also, Kansas State is a leader in winter wheat research and breeding, producing the most widely planted Kansas varieties in 9 of the last 10 years. That success led to a wheat breeding partnership with Monsanto in 2010.
We just don't have the capability of filling all gaps that might be created if budgets get cut. So it's a matter of us working together with our public sector colleagues to understand what the greatest needs are.
Fischoff says it's a mutually beneficial relationship. K-State has the experience, while Monsanto has the advanced technology. But Don Teske, president of the Kansas Farmers Union, is concerned about public research dollars funding private industry advances.
I think that's one of the saddest things that we're losing now is that truly public domain of the research varieties that came out of our land-grant universities.
Kansas State's Pierzynski says he understands the concerns, but notes that the university remains objective and shares in any commercialization.
We don't accept research dollars without the understanding that we're going to publish that in the open literature. And again, that's a way to maintain our independence.
In tough budget times, often it's about reprioritizing and understanding the needs of the farmer and the market. For instance, when the university's corn breeder retired more than 10 years ago, K-State didn't fill the position. Pierzynski says industry had taken over that role. Adjustments will be essential as ag research maneuvers through the challenge of feeding and clothing an estimated 9 billion people by 2050. Eric Durbin, Harvest Public Media.
That's Under the Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thank you for listening. You can find these stories and many more at kbia.org.